spiritual gifts for a month, and I just pray that you can reveal each and everyone's spiritual gifts to them, God. God, you know there's no place we would rather be today. No place. God, we carry stuff with us every day. And God, I just want you to release that from everyone in here today, God. Just let them worship with you, God, because you are worthy. You are so worthy to be praised. You're such a good God. That's why I like this song, because it says, no place I would rather be, no place I would rather be, no place I would rather be than here in your love.
I want more of you, God.
control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you,
friend, and he's more importantly, he's our King, and we love to worship him as much as we can. Every single day we worship him, and we just take as much time as we can just to feel his presence as often as we can. And I just love to sing this song because it's blessed me in a way. I love this song, and when I sing this song, I feel his presence so strongly, and I can't even explain it, but his presence is known every time I sing it. But I'd like to sing this song. It's called As the Deer.
As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You
Come on, worship him, would you? Hallelujah. That's an anthem to the Lord, a song of worship. You are my strength, you're my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You know, to walk in spiritual gifts, there has to be a yielding of your own self. No matter what the gift is, we're going to talk about the last segment of some sort of descriptive subjects. And tonight it's about the desirability. Somebody say desirability. My desire for God to just impart unto me spiritual gifting. And then next week and the last week of this season in the sanctuary here, we're going to go through 10 one night and 10 the next on the following Wednesday, the last one. And it'll be a fast approach, but we will cover them all. And tonight, at the end of tonight, we're going to release spiritual gifts. So I want you say, well, there's going to be a group of people that are going to be used by God to minister to others. And then that means the rest of you are going to be ministered to. If I were to say, listen, how many of y'all need to be ministered to tonight? How many of you would raise your hand? How about 100%? All of us need to be ministered to. See, some of us are carrying things we don't even know we're carrying. Okay? How many of you would like to minister to somebody? About 100%. So we qualify, right? So at the end of the service, I'm going to get into the drafting business, okay? I'm going to throw you in the deep end of the pool. And we're going to have the needs come forward first, and then we're going to minister one to another. Don't be afraid, because somebody say it's practice time, y'all. Come on, it's practice time. So we're going to activate gifts tonight, and we're going to watch God do some incredible, incredible things. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, you can be seated in his presence. Why don't you just give the Lord a hand praise tonight? Desirability of the gifts. And as we begin this evening, I want to remind you of Paul's words, and I think I've mentioned this verse every week, so we should get it by now, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, and the verse is 31. And this so you and I are without excuse. He said, so you should, somebody say I should, okay, you should earnestly desire the greater gifts. One translation says the greater gifts. The New Living Translation says the most helpful gifts. But he says, but now let me show you a way of life that's just best of all. One translation, that translation says the greater gifts. I think if you dig that out, you'll discover that it's not greater because it's a better gift than the next gift. It's greater because it's the best one for you. Okay? You are not an accident. There's not a person in this room that is here because you are, well, you know, my mama got pregnant when she was in high school. That doesn't matter. God doesn't make a mistake. Okay? And there's probably somebody listening to me online tonight to think, man, you know, I've always had it rough, man. My mama got pregnant when she was, you know, when she had me. And then, you know, my dad's not on the scene. And, you know, just, and you can give 100 reasons why you're just not able to function the way you should be able to function because you're at such a disadvantage. Can I just tell you something? God knew you before you were thought. I love Jeremiah 1, verse 4 and 5. I don't have it on the screen for you, but it's always in my spirit. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and I ordained certain things for you. How many of y'all would willingly say that you have self-esteem issues at some point in your life? Besides me, I'll be glad to say it first, okay? There was a time in my life when I stood in front of the mirror And I was very, very disappointed with what was reflected back to me. Anybody else feel that way? That's an issue of your own esteem and your own value. But I'm telling you, the psalmist said that you are fearfully and you are wonderfully made. Every person in this room, you are fearfully and you're wonderfully made. And God has a divine design for your life. And the sooner you come to that reality, the better off you will be. And listen to this. And the better off all of us will be. Okay? And so here's the real deal. You want to be effective in what God calls you to do. So if you're trying to walk in an area of gifting and it's not working out, maybe you should just ask the Lord, you know, God, am I on the wrong page here? You know? Or maybe trust a mentor. Find someone that you have respect for, you value their opinion, their perspectives. And just say, hey, man, just speak the raw truth to me. This is what I've been going through. And listen to the counsel of the Lord. And just be vulnerable to have someone speak truth into your life. You know, I told you last week, when people preach for me for the very first time, I sat down with them with a laptop. And most of the time we're in the cafe, nobody else is here. And I say, hey, we're going to watch you today. And I'll just go along and say, hey, and then stop the tape and say, what, you know, talk to me about that. I don't know, Pastor. Man, I got stuck. I don't know what was going on. Okay. So talk to me about your body language. What's going on? Are you extremely nervous or, you know, and so, you know, find someone that will just be gut level honest with you about what it is you're aspiring to do. And when they're honest with you, don't let it hurt you. Let it help you. Come on. Don't let it hurt you. Let it help you. And so if you are effective in the area of gifting that you're walking in, guess what? You're not only effective, you're not only feeling better about it, you're not only better off yourself, but who else is better off? All of us, okay? All of us are better off. The moral of that story by Paul is that everything that we do must be done in love. If you correct somebody, you correct them in love. You know, I've pulled people to the side a lot of times and say, hey, can we have a chat? And they'll say, yeah. I say, look, can I just be honest with you, okay? Can I just be honest with you for a second? I'm trying to help you. I don't want to hurt you, but I just want to be honest with you. And it's called constructive criticism. You know what? I do that in my own life today. I've been in the ministry for 42 years. And I told a gentleman this yesterday. I said, would you do me a favor? He said, sure. How can I help you, Pastor Wallace? I said, I want you to get a Sunday off from your church in the next month. You can let me know or not let me know. It really doesn't matter to me when you come, because I'm not going to change anything for you. But I want you to come to my church, and I want you to walk in the door with a spirit that is constructively critical. I want you to look at how you're treated when you drive into the parking lot. I want you to look at the cleanliness of our facility. What do the grounds look like? How do people speak to you when you came in the door? What kind of feeling did you have when you were invited to worship with our worship team? What did you think about the production on the screen? What did you think about the nursery? Did you go into the bathroom? Did it smell? I just went down the... He said, I got you. And I said, I want you to come to my church and check us out, and then I want you to contact me and let's have a cup of coffee. You know what that is comparative to? That's being with your wife and saying, my breath stink. She said, honey, your breath's been smelling. What's going on? What'd you eat yesterday? You know, no. It's saying, be honest with me. For several years, there was a gentleman in the Husky by the name of James Earl Jones. Some of you might have been Southern Bank customers and borrowed money from him like I did. James Earl and I had a pact together. And I went into bank one day and I said, James Earl, he said, what is it, Pastor? I said, would you do me a favor and many others in this city? He said, sure. What is it? How can I help you? I said, would you contact the home office in Mount Olive, North Carolina, and please have somebody to come and fix those two big potholes on the backside of this bank? He said, wow, I sure will. I said, now I want you to go by carpenter shop and ride around my building once a week or so and then call me and tell me what I need to do. Okay, there's a mutual exchange. Are you getting this? We're so scared of criticism. We're so afraid that if somebody says something critical about what we're doing, we are tempted to take what? An offense. And it's not meant to be that way. The spirit in how you do it means all the difference in the world. The spirit in which you do it makes all the difference in the world. And so Paul has this divine instruction on spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter number what? 12. And then he has another set of divine instructions on spiritual gifts in chapter what? 14. Then there's a big old hunk of meat in the middle of it. We call it the Corinthian sandwich. And what does that meat consist of? Love. I want to show you the most excellent way. And so he's trying to get you to understand. And you have to understand here, chapter and verse was not God's idea, okay? That's put there by man for our purposes. These were letters that were written, okay? And so chapters and verse are there to help us. So in the middle of this letter, and this part of the letter, there is a meat sandwich in the middle, and it's called the love chapter. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, and, you know, right on down the line, okay? And so everything we do must be done in love. And so if you want to help somebody in love, approach them, you know? Even if you have to say, hey, I think I'm going to send them an instant message, okay? All right? I'm just going to reach out to them and just say, hey, can you and I talk about something, okay? And I promise you, God will do a work if you do things in love, okay? It's very important that every Christian discover two things: discover and develop. Discover my gifting and develop my gifting, okay? Discover my gifting, develop my gifting. I'm still working on me, okay? I'm still aspire to be a good communicator of the gospel. If I'm going to be a preacher, bro, I want to be a good preacher, okay? So I'm working to the very best of my ability to constantly improve my speaking skills, okay? I don't want to be somebody to say, oh, Lord, who's preaching? Oh, Lord, it's Pastor Wallace. No. I want people to anticipate what I have to say. I want people to look forward to what I have to say, okay? And so you and I are called to the same thing. We want to perfect the giftings in our lives, okay? So you discover and you develop. Spiritual gifts that are bestowed upon you by God, okay, by the Lord. And these gifts are desirable for three basic reasons I'm going to deposit into you tonight. Three basic reasons why we should be desiring spiritual gifts. Number one, because you'll be satisfied. You'll be satisfied. If you're doing, number one, what you really enjoy and what you understand that God has uniquely given you a gift to do, then you're going to be satisfied, okay? And by the way, just a sidebar, criticism is not a spiritual gift, okay? Okay? Criticism is not a spiritual gift. God's not called you with a gift of criticism, so you get everybody else in order and you got it all right, okay? Criticism is not a spiritual gift. But you'll be satisfied. You'll undergo personal fulfillment, okay? I just told X here a little bit ago. I said, hey, man, you've been busy. I've been watching. He said, yeah, man, God opens doors. I said, man, it's feast or famine, ain't it? Either they come in bunches like bananas. Either you got all kinds of gigs you got to do or you got nothing, okay? How many of y'all have discovered that? Something that you're gifted to do, you are so busy doing it, or either you got a long lull, you know? You got a long lull and you haven't done anything like that in a few weeks, okay? And that's just the way it works, okay? They come in bunches like bananas. Pastor Mike, I guarantee if you talk to him, there are seasons when the phone rings off the hook and somebody wants something. Somebody told me you were a first-class carpenter outside of ministry. Your gift is to be a first-class carpenter. And I got a little job. It won't take you long. And you know, that's what they'll tell him. It won't take you long. And he said, man, I wish I could help you, but it would be 2000. It would be the end of 24. Maybe December I might could get. Are you kidding me? Now, you can get in seasons like that, and then you can get a season where you think, you know what? They must have forgot all about me. I mean, I got a quiet, easy street here, and I'm enjoying it, okay? Luke 5:16, Jesus often withdrew himself to lonely places. I'm in a lonely place, and I like it. And so I've discovered that thing about speaking. Sometimes I get called to speak somewhere, and then all of a sudden the phone will ring again or email, hey, can you do this? Can you do that? And I'll just be preaching all over the place. And then all of a sudden I'll go through a season where I don't get an invitation to do anything. Okay? And it's okay. But when you operate in the gifting that you have, somebody say, the gift that I have. When you do that, you will be satisfied. Knowing and using your gift will give you an understanding of the unique and indispensable ministry that you've been called to accomplish by the Holy Spirit. You'll discover that significant part of the purpose for your life. You know, I have a friend who's an intercessor for Pastor Joy and I. She's been an intercessor for us for over 40 years. She started out giving us $40 a month because she wanted to help us through Bible college. And she still intercedes for us every day of our life. We can talk to her, and she'll say, you know, Brother Wallace, thank you so much for reaching out to me. And she'll say it like this. She'll say, I call your name before the Father every day of my life. Every day of my life, I call your name to the Father. And there are multiple people in my life that they say God has positioned them to stand in the gap for me and my family. It's amazing. Someone asked me for a picture just a few weeks ago. Can you get me an updated picture of your family? Because I want even the grandkids, because I'd like to stand in the gap for your grandchildren. Come on, man. That's a gift. That's a spiritual gift. Amen? And so you'll discover that significant part of who you are and what you're called to do, the reason why God put you on this planet, he will make you competent to produce something in the lives of people that could last for an eternity. I'm serious. You'll have a sense of fulfillment and joy if you do what God's called you to do, okay? And listen, let's flip the coin and say this. If you do what God's not called you to do, and if you're just doing something because you want to do it and it's not working out for you, what are you going to suffer with? Misery, because it just doesn't seem to fly, okay? It just doesn't seem to work. And knowledge of your spiritual gift will assist you and help you in discerning and affirming the will of God for your life. God will not call you to accomplish anything without giving you the power. What's the word there on this Sunday morning? Dynamics. The dynamics of the Holy Spirit. He's not going to call you and not give you the equipment to make it happen. It's going to happen because he's going to give you the dynamics to do it. In fact, Romans 12, look at what it says, Romans 12, verse 4. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. Every person in this room is different. Some people are techno-savvy, okay? Some people, they can't even send an email. Some people freak out. Some people have you got that person in your life that calls you, can you help me with my phone? Something's wrong with my phone. No, nothing's wrong with your phone. Something's wrong with you, okay? Why do you even have a smartphone? You need a dumb phone. Come on, somebody. You need a flip. Get you a flip. Matter of fact, if you can find somebody who's got a bag phone, buy one of them, okay? That way you can drag it around and you'll be so tired you won't even want to use the phone, okay? So some people try to operate beyond the scope of their ability. And if you can't bring somebody alongside you to coach you and help you get there, and it's just not working, drop it and do something else, okay? Each of us has one body, many members, and these members do not all have the same function. Get plugged in where you need to be plugged in so that you can flourish and feel good about it, and so can we, all right? You'll be satisfied when you're successful. And you're successful when you identify the gifting and then you gradually begin to improve on that gifting. Secondly, not only will you be satisfied, guess what? Others will be edified. Other people, because you're functioning in your gift capacity, other people will be edified. Knowing your gifts, using your gifts will lead to the edification of the other members of the body of Christ. As you exercise your spiritual gifts, you will play a substantial role, here we go, in the building up of other Christians. Okay? You'll be a part of building other believers up. Ephesians 4, 12 to 16. This is a wonderful passage. This is the passage that talks about the gifts that God has given to the body, to the church, in the persons of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. He says, listen, what this is what they're called to do. Verse 12, to equip God's people for works of service. Right now, you are being equipped by a pastor. You're being encouraged by a pastor. A pastor is a what? A poimen, a shepherd. He's dealing tonight with who? The sheep. He's encouraging the sheep to get aligned perfectly with what God's gift is in your life so that you can be satisfied and others can be edified. Are y'all getting this? Come on. You can be satisfied at what you're doing and others can be edified. It's just an amazing thing to see, to watch God's body work. Just a few weeks ago, I dropped a project on Pastor Mike, okay? And he's already accomplished so much in just a couple of short weeks. He's already boom, 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 cross the T's, dot the I's, ready to talk. Let's sit down, have a meeting. Got this lined up, got that lined up. That is a part of spiritual gifting, a gift of leadership, somebody who knows what to do, knows how to make it happen. There's a management gift there. There's a discipline gift there. There's a resource gift there. You see what I'm saying? Okay, somebody else in this church could have taken that project and say, Pastor, you're going to have to help me, man. I can't get up with that guy you said. No. What are you talking about? I thought you had the information. No, you just told me you wanted me to do it. Not a self-starter. Are you hearing me? Some people have initiative, others don't. Okay? And so here in this passage, Paul is telling the people of Ephesus, listen, you have these ministry gifts. We call it the fivefold. You have the fivefold ministry gifts to come along and prepare you and equip you. And the chapters, the verses here, the passage really does the teaching. So let's let it teach. What does it say? To equip people for works of service. For what reason? So that the body of Christ may be what? Built up. Why should they be built up? To reach unity in the faith and in the Son of God, in the knowledge of the Son of God. And what will happen? Maturity will happen. Maturity will happen in the church. And why are we talking about maturity? Because you need to be able to attain to the fullness and the measure that Christ has for us. He doesn't want you being spiritual babies. He doesn't want any of us to be spiritual babies. He wants us to grow up. He wants us to mature so that we can reproduce ourselves and help other believers become mature. Then he says in verse 14, then, here's a plus, then you will no longer be spiritual babies. You will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every little wind of teaching and the cunning and the craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Man, have you ever seen a day where there was so much available for people to get off track? There's a TikTok video, a YouTube video. Listen, if you believe something, you can find a YouTube channel that will support your belief. It can be, you can be as flaky as a $3 bill and you can find some support for it. That's a shame. That's why it's important for us to do what? To rightly divide the word of truth. Come on. We rightly divide the word of truth. How do you, those of you that know anything about money, how do people detect counterfeit money? Study the real thing. That's exactly right. Counterfeit is understood because there's such an awareness and an understanding of what the real thing is. Okay? So when you get into God's word and you study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that doesn't need to be ashamed, but you can rightly divide his truth, then when somebody comes up with something flaky, it'll stand out, man, like a sore thumb. You say, wait a minute, what did you say there? Okay? Now let's talk about that for a minute, because Ephesians says, or you can, but then the Holy Spirit's going to start giving you truth, proof to say, hey, what you're saying here is not so. Okay? You'd be surprised, man. You'd be shocked if you knew how many messages I get, emails, text messages, instant messages, in just a week or so's time. Pastor, could I ask you something? Pastor, could I ask you something? People are always shooting questions to me. Because why do you think they do that? Because they expect more of me than the average Joe. Why? To whom much is given. Help me here. Much is required. Okay? And so they say, hey, I'm going to run this by the pastor. And then you'll say, no, I didn't think so, but I just wanted to make sure. Okay? And so listen, when you get into the Word of God, and the Word of God is ingrained into your spirit and into your spiritual DNA, when you run across something that just don't seem to gel or sound just right, then the Spirit of God in you will say, wait a minute. I'm going to go to the Word on this, okay? And so that's the important part of being prepared. And if you fail, if you fail to develop your gifts, or you let them just sit there and decline. There's some people that just come to church, and that's all they do. And never give anything in terms of gifting, ability, volunteerism, help. They just come early, come late, leave early, and they just don't get involved. And really what God wants you to do is come early and leave late. Okay? Because if you come early, you're connected with people, and if you leave late, you left late because why? You're connected with people. And as you connect with people, you do what? Iron sharpens iron. And you draw from one another, okay? Listen, when I miss, you know what happens? You miss. How many of y'all like it when I'm gone? Come on, you can tell the truth, okay? You say, when I miss, you miss. But can I tell you something else? When you miss, I miss. Are y'all getting this? When you miss, I miss. Why? Because I want you here. Why? Because each of you brings something of value to this body. Okay? You bring something of value to this body of believers, and it's so important. When I miss, you miss. When you miss, I miss. Why? Because every one of us are a part of the puzzle we call Carpenter Shop International Church. Have you ever put together a puzzle? And man, you get down to the wire. You know, there's 500 pieces in that booger to start with, and you got almost done, and you're missing three pieces. What a disappointment. I don't even want the puzzle. What would I do with it? Man, hide this thing, brother, or throw it away, okay? Because it's not complete without all the pieces. Can I say to you as a body, when you're not here, when you're not engaged in what it is you bring to the body of Christ here at this church, then you are greatly missed. You're greatly missed. So you're satisfied. The body is edified. Third and finally, God is glorified. With your gifting, God is glorified. According to 1 Peter chapter 4, look at verses 10 and 11. Your spiritual gifts are ultimately designed to do what? Bring praise and honor and glory to the Lord, okay? What you bring satisfies you, edifies the body, glorifies the Lord. Bringing glory and honor because you're doing what God destined you to do. You're doing what God gifted you to do. And some of you might be sitting here tonight and saying, man, I don't know what my purpose is, okay? I'm going to tell you, God's going to reveal that to you. He is. Each of you should use whatever gift, is what he says, you have received to do what? To serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. There's such variety in gifting. There's such variety in the body of Christ. People are so different. I love our church because of diversity. You know what? If I had to go to an all-white congregation, I think I'd just die. That was weak, y'all. Come on. I said, if I had to go to an all-white congregation, I think I'd just die. Okay? I love the diversity. Diversity is such a powerful thing. Psalm 133, that's where the blessing is commanded by God, when people will just drop all of their preconceived notions and ideas and come and dwell together in what? In unity. there is where the Lord commands his blessing. Verse 11, if anyone speaks, they should do so as the one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be what? Praised. When you greet, greet with everything that's in you. Good morning. Welcome to Carpenter Shop Church. Come on in, girl. Come on in this house. We're glad you're here. Let it be an experience for every person who steps in this worship facility. Do it to the very best of your ability. Dr. Martin Luther King said this, if your destiny in life is to be a street sweeper, then let it go down in history as being the very best street sweeper that that city has ever known. Okay? Do the very best that you possibly can. And to him be glory and power, he says, forever and forever. This is your highest calling, and it relates to the three persons of the Godhead. Listen, as you use your spiritual gifts in conjunction with the power and the fruit, especially love, as we talked about, of the Holy Spirit, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father is going to receive the glory. He's going to say to you each and every day of your life, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. I'm proud of you, son. I'm proud of you, daughter. Well done. You're doing what I've gifted you to do to the best of your ability. When you walk in your spiritual gifts as the worship team comes, you're satisfied, others are edified, and God is glorified. Amen. How many of you here tonight, as we come together to close now, let's stand together. How many of you wandered in here tonight and you say, Pastor, I'll be honest with you. I have an issue that's on my mind. I have something that's in my spirit. I've been to the doctor. I have a need that's in my physical body. Or maybe you're here tonight and you say, man, I'm just going through a season of, I just don't seem to be at peace. How many of you could just say, Pastor, that's me. Come on, just several of you. Come on, just come on and join me here at the front. And just face me. Just line across the front here and face me. I just don't feel a deep sense of peace that I just need God to touch me some kind of way. Just face me. Stand across the front here. Okay? Just stand across the front. Are there others? Just come on. Come on. If there's more feeling that way than feeling the other way, then we'll double up. Okay? Just stand there. Now just close your eyes. And listen, you're a receiver tonight, so just open your hands like this and just rest your elbows on your side. No stress, no strain. Just stand there with your hands up, your palms up, because you're about to receive something, okay? Now, I want those of you that are remaining standing in the congregation here, I want to pray this prayer over us, and then I'm going to ask you to come. Just pray this prayer with me and just pray it in your own spirit. Father, help me tonight. Attune my ear to your voice. Give me the words, Lord, to say. Give me the perspective to share. Give me the understanding, Lord, of what you desire for me to do. Help me, God. Move beyond me, because, God, I don't know that I have what's needed. But I know that you do. Would you use me as a vessel? Use me as a vessel right now to minister to this person in Jesus' name. Okay? So I want you to move out. Elaine, come on. Come right on. Come on, right next to Elaine. Come on. Come on. All of you young people especially, just find you a person. Just find you a person. Okay? Come on. Just find your person. Logan, just spin around. Find you a person. Come on, young people. There you go. Find you a person. We're going to use you guys first. All right? Come on. Are you here for prayer, or you want to be used by God? Are you going to pray? Okay. All right. That'll work. All right. Come on. Come on. Step out of your seat. Come on. Find you somebody. Just find you somebody. There you go. There you go. You notice I'm not calling for my prayer team, okay? That's right. Get right in front of this. Come on here, Andre. Get right in front of Wallace there. He's the second Wallace in the house. Amen. Come on, Billy. You can say something. praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, Gloria. I need your help. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, Shirley. Just get in front of someone. We've got some empty ones here. I need a guy. Come on, Doug. Dr. D, come on, man. We've got a man right here. Hallelujah. There you go. Just face him. Just face your person. Just face your person. I got two more ladies. I need two more ladies. Come on, dear. Pastor Mike, your daughter right there. Come on. Come on, Megan. Megan, come on, dear. Hallelujah. Come on, you just allow the Holy Spirit to help you. Father, release spiritual gifting right now. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, Scott. Come on, Scott. Don't want to miss anybody. Hallelujah. There you go. You guys just pray for these, would you? Just pray for these. Hallelujah.
Oh,
seated for just a moment here? Praise the Lord. Let's just give honor to the Lord just for moving by his presence. You know, Sherrod deposited three things basically to you tonight, that when spiritual gifting takes place, when spiritual gifting is released, there's a level of, hey, that was satisfaction to me. I enjoyed that. You know, I'm just glad that God used me in that moment. How many of you, those of you that were called up to pray for someone who was facing this way, you were on the giving side, how many of you can say that you felt a sense of God empowering you to go a little outside of the boundaries of what you would normally do for yourself? Come on. Anybody? Amen. I said I was going to throw you on the deep end of the pool, right? So it's either swim or sink, right? You know, several years ago, Pastor Kim Norris was here on a Sunday morning, and he preached about a 10-minute message. I mean, he didn't preach hardly at all. And he said, how many of you guys here today would love to receive a prophetic word from the Lord? You'd have God would say something specifically to you in a prophetic word. Could I see your hand? And all over the building, people was raising their hands, you know. He said, okay, I want you to line up, just line up down the aisles, both sides. And he said, Pastor Wallace is going to come stand right here, and he's going to prophesy over every one of y'all. How many of y'all remember that? Remember what happened? And I looked in the line. I was okay, you know, to, you know, God began to really empower me and to help me, give me words. And I looked up, and in the back of the line back there was my wife. And I was like, Lord, come on, God. You know, sometimes ministering to your own people is the hardest task, okay? But God gave me spiritual insight and help. So can I have a female that you were one who was praying for someone, or can I have someone just to come and just share your experience, what you experienced tonight? This will be a help. Just one young lady that prayed for somebody. I'll draft you now if I need to. Come on. Gloria, come on, dear. Come on, Gloria. Give it up for Gloria, y'all. Come on, Gloria. So tell us what you experienced, Gloria.
My experience was when I, you know, started praying for my sister, I really didn't know what to say. You know, I didn't even, you know, ask her what was her need. But I said, God, you know what her need is. You know, just use me as a vessel to talk to her and to minister through her. And what God told me and what I shared with her was, he's done it for me. I don't even know what it is, but he's done it over and over and over again. So I know that, God, you would do it for her, and you would do it for her family, whatever the situation is. I never asked her because I don't need to know. God knows. So, yeah, that was very powerful because I did not know what to say. You know, first I'm like, well, maybe I should get into her, you know, ask her. But God told me he already knows. You just pray and let her know that you have done it for me over. You've done it for my family over. Not one time, over and over again.
Okay. All right, stand right there, Gloria. So let me ask you now as a body. She shared with you what perspective she took. This is a great teaching moment. What dynamic did you see that could take place in how Gloria handled that thing? What was she really doing? She was what? Okay, all right. She says letting God take it over. She said she was interceding. I'm looking for something specific. She was what? Okay, she was encouraging. She was releasing what to her? Faith. Listen, I'm telling you, I've seen God do for me. Okay, so you follow that? She was imparting faith to her. You were infusing her, just like giving her an inoculation or an injection of faith. So over and over, she said, listen, God's going to do it for you. And then she went beyond that rim and said what? And God's going to do it for your family, okay? Your children's children. Come on, Jaira. Your children's children. So the way you handled that, Gloria, is incredible because you are infusing faith to someone else. And she said, notice what Gloria said, I don't even need the details, okay? Why would she say that? Because she knows she's calling on a God who already knows, okay, before we even ask, okay? Come on, give it up for Gloria, y'all. All right? Let me have one of the men, one of the young men that prayed for somebody tonight. Come on. I'll draft you if you don't come. All right? Young man. Come on, Andre. Come on, man. You got that fluorescent jacket on. You stand out anyway, bro. All right. So what was your experience here?
I prayed for the fella back in the back here. I just started speaking. I really didn't know what to say, honestly, but just let it flow. Let him work on you. Just pray for his family. And if he's hurting, anything like that, just try to take it away. And whatever he's going through inside life, God will get you through it. Because we all go through ups and downs. So just put it in God's hands.
Okay. All right. So what was the number one dimension? Stay right there, Andre. What was the number one thing that you caught that came from Andre? He served as a what? You said it earlier, an intercessor. He stood as an intercessor right there in the face of that person. Who did he pray for? Okay. All right. So Wallace, what was your experience? What was your experience coming from Andre? What? Come on, share with us. Come on, share with us. You need a microphone here. Come on. Come on down. So what did you experience as Andre was praying for you?
I experienced sincerity. I experienced that he cared about what I was going through. Honesty. And his prayer was, he was just talking to God about me. And
he said he was talking to God about me. Reason to worry when you're ministering. We're talking about releasing spiritual gifts. Can you imagine what will happen in this church if everyone, say everyone, would begin to walk in a dimension that was a little outside of the lines for them? What wouldn't be normally what you would do? Okay, you can find yourself in Walmart, Andre, and you got, man, you done pulled your day, but you're going to stop by. Wife has said, hey, could you grab some bread? And you stop by and grab some bread, and you turn the corner, and the Holy Spirit speaks to you about some guy down the aisle. And he said, man, I'm tired, Doc. I'm ready to go home. I'm tired, boss. I'm dog tired. I'm ready to go home. But the Holy Spirit, as you walk in a spiritual dimension, the Holy Spirit is going to begin to speak to you about others. Okay? About others. And so my hope, my anticipation is that, yes, it will stretch some of us to move another step closer to the dimension that God has assigned to your life, okay? So that every person you pray for doesn't mean a prophecy, okay? Every person you pray for might not be physical healing. Sometimes you may take the posture just like these said tonight. Listen, I don't even really know, but I know I hear God saying to me, basically, you released them prophetic over her, Gloria, because you basically proclaimed to her that God is going to take care of it, okay? And he's going to move beyond you even to your children and their children, okay? That's prophetic right there, all right? All right? So, Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would help us, God, as we embark on the journey of realizing spiritual giftings in our lives, that you, God, would empower us, equip us beyond our own ability. That's why we call it, Lord, spiritual gift, the grace of God to shower down upon us to do things that we really don't have the ability to do. And so we ask you tonight, God, to enlarge our territory in that arena, enlarge our influence, enlarge our capabilities in Jesus' strong name. Amen and amen. Well, praise the Lord. Fellowship among yourselves before you leave tonight. Thank you for being a part of the study tonight. Now, remember, next week, 10 spiritual gifts that we'll take a stab at. And then the following week, another 10, and we'll give you examples of what we're talking about, okay? God bless you all. Appreciate every one of you.